Blake Smith, the director, has come in from the loading dock. He's put down his carpentry tools. Now he's in the green room with us.
Hi, Richard. Thank you so much for making this happen. It's so great to see you and so wonderful to talk to the folks in the music room.
Who came up with the idea of moving Mozart to 1950s Brooklyn?
Well, you know, not surprisingly, probably, that was my fault. I'm kind of a fan of theatrical deconstruction for some really good reasons and some less sexy reasons. The good ones being that, you know, our audience is largely college students and younger people and people who are seeing an opera for the first time. And modernizing elements of the content which are not particularly necessary to be set in the original time period. Obviously, The Marriage of Figaro is a little bit harder because you're dealing with feudal rights that are largely contextual, and there's not much in a modern context that really works like that. But in a piece like this, with some dumb guys and some sweet but maybe a little bit gullible girls and an old guy who thinks he pretty much has everybody figured out, that's something that's pretty universal. So it kind of works in any time period that we want to choose. And the less sexy reason for deconstructing, frankly, is that it's a lot cheaper. You know, you can use costumes that are a little more sort of, you can use costumes which are more immediate and things that people already have in their possession and things that you don't have to rent big, fancy, expensive 17th or 18th century, you know, French costumes for.
Shoshana can make a green hat as opposed to running around finding all those white wigs.
Exactly. And Shoshana has done some amazing work. She costumed Werther on virtually no budget whatsoever with costumes that we already had and just made some small adjustments to things here and there, and it was really great. And the reason that we set it to this particular time period is because there is a certain amount of machismo that comes in the young soldiers that is not at all sort of unlike what you would see in the 1950s sort of happy days, early 60s kind of idea. Young sort of, you know, masculine guys, you know, talking about their nice, virtuous girlfriends. And part of the reason we actually liked this is that there is, of course, in the work, there is a fake battle to which the guys are called off to. And it was sort of convenient to use the draft as a nice cover for the guys being called off with very little warning. So basically, instead of the guys being called off to some amorphous war, the guys will show up in the first act with their little yellow draft card saying, guess what? It came in the mail. I gotta go now. So it was kind of a nice cover for that. So it was one small sort of practical connection there. But the nature of the guys as being super macho and the girls being a little bit dramatic but also really sweet and kind, it kind of lent itself to sort of a Park Slope, you know, 1950s, 1960s sort of Brooklyn era. So yeah, there'll be some really nice images of that, and there's a great, great panorama of New York City and from across the river in the final scene at the wedding. So it's a nice, there's a lot of really nice things that I think will be very easily relatable to people.
What is it like working with a variety of different students?
Well, that's actually kind of the best part of this, is that having done a lot of professional singing myself, one of the things that you realize is that whenever people are at a certain point in their life, when it's not really new, when it's not really exciting, when it's not really mystical, when it's your job, it really changes the kind of atmosphere and the kind of energy that exists between a cast. And many times when you're a professional, you know, you've sung with these people before and there's a certain amount of rapport, which is really nice, and a nice amount of chemistry. But there is just a level of wonder that's present in dealing with college students, even some of the older ones. I mean, there are kids who are juniors and seniors and even grad students who've never had a chance to do something this substantive before. There are young kids who are coming out of high school taking massive chances. And we do have one of our really wonderful alums who is a faculty member at Franklin and Marshall who's coming back to sing with us. And it's really wonderful because, I mean, Jess was coming to UD when I first got here, and when she was on campus, she actually was never with UDOT. She never sang in a production. So I'm getting to work with one of our alumni who I never get to work with when she was here, you know, 10 years after the fact. So it's a really special and unique thing. There's nothing like the energy and the excitement and the wonder, the real discovery that comes with working with young people. And even the ones who have been doing it for a couple of years still are nowhere near the ones who are on their 30th or 40th role and who are just making a career out of this and traveling from one place to the other. Plus, there's also something to be said for the fact that these guys are friends. In most cases, I mean, they go to class together, they go to each other's houses on the weekends and hang out and go sit on the green together and, you know, play acoustic guitars and do very collegey things like that. They do these things together and then they get to come and do this together, and that's a really special thing. And you don't necessarily see the same kind of interaction, sometimes compulsory interaction in classes and such, in the professional world that you see here. So that's one of my favorite things about it, is that it's always new.
Well, it's one of the things I've noticed. This is, what, about the fifth opera production I've come to talk to you about, and it's like you always seem to manage to build this camaraderie. It's not like the two people singing the same role are competing with each other. Yeah. It's they're supporting each other.
Absolutely. I mean, you realize that they've been going through this piece together for weeks, and they both have to be dialed in enough during the rehearsal process to actually grow from the other person's actions. They have to be watching very closely, and of course they wind up helping each other. If somebody drops a line, there's somebody who's following along really carefully right there to sort of help them out and to sort of throw that line their way. And I've watched them. I mean, I watch them at the end of rehearsal. Sometimes they'll get together and they'll talk about, okay, I did this here, what do we need to do? And there's this really great interplay there. And the truth is they're all going to get that opportunity to sing, you know. Basically, if you want to think of it that way, when we do two productions, there's an opening night or a closing night. So each one is sort of equally significant and celebratory. So really, it's just one of the best parts about it is seeing these guys grow and seeing them sort of discover and experience these things together. And yeah, I mean, we're just so fortunate that our students are good people and they're talented musicians, and they trust. They take chances. They take the chance that when we ask them to do some of the things that they're going to do on stage, which are hilarious, by the way. We've made this piece much funnier than it is. Conductors love Così fan tutte, and directors really don't that much. This is the second I've sung the role for Rondo several times as a professional, and I've directed it now twice, and neither time that I directed it did I choose it. In each case, I was either a brand new faculty member and the conductor who was already here had chosen it, or in this case, we're very fortunate to have a really wonderful guest conductor from New York, David Leibowitz, coming. And David was, you know, we kind of bandied about some ideas, and I had the ones I was serious, really intense about, and he had this one fit our people really well, so it was a good choice for us. But we'd done it before, and it's kind of a misogynistic and weird piece in some ways, so I'm always a little bit reticent to do that because the action's fairly inane and simplistic in some ways. So what do? We take the piece that directors don't like a whole lot, and we just do some pretty bizarre, crazy, uncanny things for the sake of doing bizarre, crazy, uncanny things. I'm much more a fan of really intensive dramatic works than I am sort of really slapstick comedy works. On stage, when you're embracing something, a comedy like this, you sometimes just have to go for the cheap laughs, and you make some, you know, you do some sort of fun, crazy, zany things, and you find ways to interpolate new things that the librettist and the composer didn't think about, ways to just make it enjoyable. So you'll see some fun, new takes on some of Mozart's choices. You'll see what is normally a quack doctor who studied with the real, you know, Austrian Dr. Mesmer, you know, which is mentioned in the finale of Act One. Instead of doing sort of a quack doctor, we decided to do sort of a new age healer. And there's usually a character voice of sorts that comes with that, and we have one that I've never heard before. We've made a choice for the character voice that's a little more kind of cool, a little more Bob Dylan-like, which is really a lot of fun, and Jess is doing an amazing job with it, and I'm excited to see sort of what Megan can play with that, too. So,
will the chorus break into Nadu Ron Ron, Nadu Ron Ron?
They won't have the chance to, unfortunately, but they have their own sort of character too. You know, Mozart choruses are tricky because in Mozart operas, the chorus at the theaters that Mozart wrote for was actually not a highly trained group. It was kind of something of a less professional group than people like Donizetti and Bellini had even 20 years later. And so the chorus parts are usually kind of smaller and kind of walk on and walk off kind of parts. But you'll see we have wonderful, wonderful talented kids in the chorus too, who are bringing a lot of new life and fun to it. And we found ways to sort of interact with them and have some fun little laughs with that too. So it should be fun. It should be a lot of fun. And if I do say so myself, funnier than De Ponte meant it to be.
So can you tell us when this wonderful opera will be available for the student body and anyone interested to watch?
Absolutely. The opera goes up this Friday, May 12th at 8 p.m. and Sunday on Mother's Day at 3 p.m. Bring your mom. Mom will thank you for it. It'll be the funniest thing mom sees all day. The piece will have an intermission in between each one. It'll be performed in Italian with English supertitles, and it'll be the best thing you can do in Newark this weekend.